from Las Vegas. You're listening to Verve Church for people who don't like church. Thanks for tuning in.
Welcome to Verve Online. At Verve, we're all about loving God, loving people, and turning the world upside down with love. I'm Vince Antonucci, the lead pastor of Verve. It is an honor to get to share with you today, and I hope that you're excited to be here. And we would love to know you. Later, you'll hear about our digital connection card, which you can use to let us know that you are here. But for now, would you just say hi in the comments and let us know where you're watching from. So we're going to start off today with some kind of goofy would you rather questions. And then we're going to get to a life-defining would you rather question. So you ready? You can put your answers in the chat box if you want. So would you rather give up internet for a month or bathing for a month? All the middle school boys, they already decided, right? Would you rather be covered in scales or covered in fur? What's your answer? Let us know. Would you rather lose a year of your life or be in jail for a year? Would you rather always be 20 minutes early or always be 10 minutes late? Let me tell the person you're with. Are you watching with somebody? If not, don't. But if you are, you can tell them your answer. Would you rather your only mode of transportation be a donkey or a giraffe? Would you rather have to wear a bathing suit every day? Like that's what you're going out in every day. Or have to wear a wedding dress or tuxedo every day. That's your thing. Okay, one more, but this one's for reals. Ready? Would you rather have your momentary desire or what you desire most? Man, life is full of challenging questions, and that's one of them. It's one we face about every day. Would you rather have your momentary desire or what you desire most? Can you think of a time when you did something because you wanted to in the moment and then later felt like, what did I do? Or how about this? Can you think of a time when you spent money on a momentary desire, something you wanted right now, and then later realized, oh, what did I do? I mean, it felt good for a moment, but now, regret. I've been there. Have you? Yeah? You can let us know in the chat. Yes, I've been there. I've done that. And it is true in all kinds of ways. And one of them is with our spending decisions. We're in a brand new series called What If? What if we could win with money? So God loves us. We are his kids, and he wants us to live the best lives possible. And money, man, it impacts our lives in so many ways. Money affects everything about everybody. And so as a loving father, God's not going to ignore money. He actually put more teaching in the Bible about money than just about any topic. There are actually, you're not going to believe this, there are more verses in the Bible about money than there are Fast and Furious movies. Like, there's actually about 2,000 more verses about money than there are Fast and Furious movies. God wants us to win with money. And one of the ways we win is by giving the right answer to this question. Would you rather have your momentary desire or what you desire most? Some of us may just have kind of a natural bent towards what we want now. One of the places you see this play out is in a movie theater. So like you go in and you buy yourself a popcorn and you bring your popcorn into the movie. Question, do you eat all the popcorn before the previews are over? You can put that in the chat. Yep, I do, or no, I don't. But you know what I'm saying, right? Though, like you're like, previews, and then the movie starts, and you're like, hey, 2-hour movie, no more popcorn. Would you rather have your momentary desire or what you desire most? God tells us if we're wise, we will choose what we desire most over our momentary desires. There's a book in the Bible called Proverbs. A lot of the books of the Bible, there's 66 books in the Bible. Most of them have like stories and history, but this book, Proverbs, has like a series of wisdom statements called Proverbs. And they're like, hey, if you want to be wise, if you want to live your best life, do this, live like this. So check out this one, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5, put on the screen here, says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. Here's one more, Proverbs 21, verse 20, says, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. What's that saying? People who win with money plan. They don't just do, they plan. People who just do end up poor. People who plan end up with profit. People who win with money save so they have some later. People who win with money, when the ad pops up on social media, Facebook or whatever it is, Twitter, whatever, for the very thing that you were thinking about buying, they don't say, well, that's a sign from God. I was thinking about buying a Peloton and now there's an ad for one. In fact, I think yesterday I was Googling how much does it cost for a Peloton and now there's an ad for it. That has to be God telling me that I'm supposed to buy a Peloton. Yeah, I was looking at maybe buying a collection of Precious Moment figurines. And now there's an ad on Facebook for Precious Moment figurines. God, do you want me to get them? God, is this you? You're such a good God. You put it right here for me to buy them. No. People who win with money, they know that's not God. There are companies who know your search history and they're selling you. People who win with money don't react. They plan. They choose what they desire most over their momentary desires. People who win with money are financially positioned with plans full of purpose so they can end up with what matters most. And, well, I mean, sure, it sounds good to get what I want, like, most later, you know, what I desire most. But the problem is I really want what I want right now. So why? Why would I not get what I want now? Why would I put my what I desire most over my momentary desires? Let me give you three big reasons, okay? Why manage our momentary desires? First reason is freedom. I mean, would you rather have your momentary desire or freedom? Here's another one of those Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7 says, the poor are ruled by the rich, and those who borrow are slaves of moneylenders. It says the poor are ruled by the rich. Those who borrow are slaves of moneylenders. See, here's the thing. We like to buy stuff because it makes us feel free. Go out to dinner. Yeah, I can do that because I'm free. Buy that new outfit? Yeah, I can buy it because I'm free. New car? Yep, I'm free. Crazy expensive coffee drink every day? Yeah, man, free. The problem is if you're spending money you don't have to spend, if you're putting that purchase on a credit card, you are not free. You just became a slave because you paid for what you purchased and now you're gonna keep paying for it and paying for it. Like, let's say you put $825 on your credit card 1 month and you're just gonna make the minimum monthly payments on it, well, that $825 purchase would end up costing you well over $1,000. Now, maybe that's all you've ever known. You feel like that's what you do. You only have to make the minimum payment. That's just what you do. The thing is, over the course of your life, you could end up spending thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of dollars just on interest. And so you pay way more than the price of what you bought. And you don't want to do that. Or maybe you're used to getting payday loans, taking out payday loans. Yeah, I get it, but that's the same thing. But with even more dramatic amounts of money, you have to pay back. And if you're thinking, crap, that's me, he's talking about me, you're not alone. You're not. But think about this. What if you were able to break free from minimum payments and payday loans? What if you held off on making purchases until you had the money to pay for them? What if maybe you put a little money into savings? You would have so much more money, and you would have so much more freedom. Now, I get it that right now that might seem unrealistic or like it's impossible. The thought of digging out might make you feel hopeless. But what if? What if you started by just kind of taking some baby steps in that direction? Now, we need to, because too many of us are doing money in a way that creates stress and steals our freedom. Listen to some of these statistics. 55 to 60% of Americans spend more than they make. 78% of full-time workers spend more than they make. Americans have $1 trillion dollars in credit card debt. The average American has $38,000 of consumer, so not mortgage, not your house, debt. Americans have $1.2 trillion in car debt. And I think we all know, nothing depreciates faster than a new car. Like, you drive your car off the lot, right? This new car, and its value just dropped thousands of dollars. But if you're making payments, you're actually paying more than the value. So think about that. You buy a new car for $30,000. You drive it off the lot, and as soon as you do, it's now worth $25,000. But if you're making payments, you're actually going to pay $35,000. Think about that. You just lost $10,000 on that deal. And where does all of this leave us? Well, 57% of Americans have less than $1,000 in their savings account and could not cover a $500 emergency. That is not free. Savings equals freedom. But when we spend all we have, we lose our freedom. But God wants you to be free. Listen to what he says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Now make sure that you stay free." God wants to set you free in every area of your life, free from sin, anxiety, stress, addiction, the past, and God wants you to be free financially. In fact, so much of our other freedoms start with financial freedom. I'll give you an example. So like some of you hate your job. Well, like every day, you drive to work and you want to kick yourself in the face. I got to go there again. And you drive home and you're angry. You get there, you're mean, but you can't leave your job. Why? Because you've spent all you have and you need that paycheck. Maybe you haven't prioritized paying back your student loans, or you have that big mortgage or that car payment. you haven't saved, and so you're not free to make a change. Or maybe you have some kind of dream that you'd love to go after, and you feel like if you could just go after this dream, it would make you come alive. But you can't, because you just don't have the financial flexibility. So, would you rather have your momentary desire or freedom? You'd rather have freedom. And God wants you to be free. I want you to be free. Our church wants you to be free. And that's why we're offering four different classes for Financial Peace University. Financial Peace offers you a path to freedom. It's not a class that we invented. In fact, it's a class that has been taken by over 6 million people. And those 6 million people would tell you taking Financial Peace leads to freedom. It gave them a path, and it gave them tools that set them free. People who take it, their lives are changed. In fact, we've had families from Verve experience that freedom from taking FPU, Financial Peace University. People like Brian and Melissa.
My name's Brian, I'm 45, I'm a county employee. I started about 18 years ago, making about $36,000 a year. I just thought it was normal to live week to week, paycheck to paycheck. When I got married, and now we have four children, and I've been with my wife for 23 years, and she's a stay-at-home mom. My whole life basically was about debt. When we started Financial Peace University, I sat down with my four kids, and my wife and I told them what we wanted to do. We said, look, we're not living the way we should. We're living above our means, and we need to get out of this debt. We need now. It needs to stop now. Not only did they help, but they actually learned and walked with us through the entire Financial Peace University. During Financial Peace University, my wife and I, we learned how to save money, snowball debt, start up a couple of Roth IRAs, put money away for the college, for the kids, and we are learning how to pay off our house within about 8 to 10 years. My wife and I made the last credit card payments, the last car payment, and we are now officially debt-free. In celebration of that, we had the kids cut up every credit card we have. We hot glued all of the credit card pieces all over the board, and then at the bottom we wrote, we are debt-free. And then we framed it, and it hangs on our wall today. And it's a reminder that I will never, ever go back into debt again, ever. It's changed my life forever. Financial Peace changed my life forever.
Man, isn't that great? We want everyone to experience that. We want everyone to take Financial Peace, and that's why we're offering it four times, both online and in person, four different options. In person at Verve on location here in Vegas on Sundays from 9:30 a.m. to 10:30. Or in person at Verve on Tuesday nights from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Or two different online options. One on Sundays from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock Pacific. You can translate into your time zone. And the other is online on Thursdays from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock Pacific. And that's why we want everyone to take it, which is why we've changed the finances of it so that you can do this free. So normally, Financial Peace costs $99 per household. Your family all can come for that same price. And we, the church that offers it, we don't make the money. It goes to FPU for all the materials. But check this, it's not going to cost you $99 because we made a deal with people at Financial Peace. They're awesome. And it will give you access to everything on their website. They've got awesome stuff. They've got this class that you're going to take, but they've also got all these budgeting tools. They've got other classes, you name it. It's tons of stuff. And we're going to be able to give you access to all of it for $25. For a year, you'll have access to all the classes, all the materials. Instead of $99 for just the class, which is a total great deal, but you're going to get the better deal, $25 for the class and everything else. So it'll cost you $25. But check this out. If you sign up for one of our four classes and actually take it, meaning if you show up for at least 6 of the 9 weeks, it's a 9-week course, you show up for at least 6 of the 9 classes, we will reimburse you your $25. That's how much we want everyone to experience freedom. So you'll get everything and you'll take the class for free. Like, why wouldn't you do that? And we're doing it because we all really need to do the class. But you don't have to take my word for it. You can take the word of the 6 million people it's set free financially. I mentioned last week that the average household who takes the FPU course pays off $5,300 in debt and saves $2,700 for emergencies within just the first 90 days of taking it. It's mind-blowing. So to sign up, go to verve.cc, and then click on Financial Peace. There'll be a couple options there. Click Financial Peace, take you to the registration page. You pay your $25, and you will get a code that will give you access to the whole FPU site on the homepage of your, when you create your little profile in there, you'll have a homepage, and all four of our classes will be listed. You can choose which one you want to take, and then once you take it, we're going to reimburse you your $25 because we want freedom for you. Why manage our momentary desires? A second reason is family and friends. Family and friends. I mean, what's more important? Your momentary desire or your family and friends? Well, obviously your family and friends. And managing your momentary desires and some savings is all about your family and friends. Let's look at another proverb. Proverbs 13, verse 22 says, if you obey God, you will have something to leave your grandchildren. If you don't obey God, those who live right will get what you leave. So, man, if you follow God's wisdom, if you do it God's way. So there's a story in the Bible about a guy named Joseph. And the king of Egypt at the time, he has this dream. And he calls in Joseph to ask him for wisdom. And Joseph tells him that the dream he had means that even though things are going great now, there's rough times coming. And so he tells the king, yeah, things are going well now, but you need to save 20% for later when things aren't going well. The king agrees, the economy goes bad, and the people are saved because they saved. People are saved because they saved 20% when things were good. Listen, none of us need to have a dream to know that there are going to be economic ups and downs, right? We don't need a dream to tell us that tires are going to wear out, that the kids are going to need new clothes, they're going to need braces, or they're going to need counseling because we didn't buy them new clothes or braces. You're going to need a new roof, a new hot water heater. Taxes are going to come due again. You want to pay for some of your kids' college. Your parents are going to get old and need some help. There might even be a global pandemic and you're furloughed or you lose some of your income or you lose your job. So, would you rather? I mean, the expensive car looks great now. Having money for your kids to eat and maybe go to college later is better. Maybe you've seen the bumper sticker that says, I'm spending my kids' inheritance. That's funny, but the Bible says that's not what a good person does. If you're wise, you prioritize your family and friends so you're able to take care of them and to help them with their needs. Why manage our momentary desires? Third reason, the future. The future. Here's one more proverb. Chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. It says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. The idea? Them ants are smart. They're smart enough to save for the future. But most people don't save for the future that they want later. They just spend what they have now, and then later, they never get the future they wanted. If we want to become people who win with money, we need to become people who manage our momentary desires and who elevate the importance of what we desire most. Who don't expect to get to the future we want just because we hoped for it, but actually get it because we established the right habits that created it, including the right financial habits. And when I say the future, I mean your future, and I mean your kids' future. But I'm also thinking bigger than that. I would love for us as a church, I would love for us to become people who think bigger than that. Like when we think future, that we would think eternity. Look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. He said, "Don't store up treasures on earth. Moths and rust can destroy them, and thieves can break in and steal them. Instead, store up your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy them, and thieves cannot break in and steal them." The idea is, yeah, the Bible says we should save, and it says we should invest in our future, but the main place we want to invest in is eternity. The forever future, because that's what really matters. When we invest our money in God's mission, it has eternal impact. Jesus is calling us to a higher purpose, a life lived not for self, but for God and others. Remember, we said we're all about loving God and loving people, turning the world upside down. He wants us to manage our momentary desires so that we can live for what's eternal. What it means to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus, is to make my life not about me. I have decided to make my life about God and others. And when we think about how we spend our money, then we have to ask, am I fixated on earth? Have I lost sight of heaven? Am I focused on the temporary and ignoring eternity? To do that, to make sure we don't make that mistake, we need to build in some financial disciplines. I know I do, because if I don't, my desires will hijack me. And so I decided to give God the first percentage of my income. We started out at 10% and have been increasing the percentage ever since. And then we give a percentage to savings, so we are prioritizing freedom and family and friends and the future. Another financial discipline is to ask yourself, how much is enough? How much is enough? Like, what's the amount? At some point, I think the only thing that makes sense is to keep living off of what I'm currently making and to invest anything above that in eternity. At one of the churches that support Verve, that helped Verve get off the ground when we first started, there's this family. And if you looked at their lives, they don't seem like they're very rich. You know, they're fine, but they're not rich. But it's interesting because the husband and the wife both have pretty high income jobs. Well, the pastor asked him about it, and the guy finally confided. He said, well, not very many people know this, but a number of years ago, we decided that we were making enough money And from that point on, that we would just give away everything more we got. We had always kind of spent more income on us getting nicer things, but we realized it just wasn't really the path we wanted to be on. We decided from now on, we're just going to live on the amount we're currently making. And whatever we end up making over this amount, we're going to use for kingdom purposes, for God. That's pretty cool, right? So the amount they were making combined when they made that decision was $80,000. And the amount that they make now is $350,000. And so they live off of $80,000 and they give $270,000 a year to God's mission. That might sound like more than you're capable of. I get it. But listen, if we don't pick that number, what number is enough? We're always going to think that number is just a little bit more. We'll keep spending on our momentary desires and miss out on the future. Not just our future, but God's future, the forever future. And man, I just know for me, I want to leave a wake of generosity. I want to invest in eternal things. I want to be part of God's revolution of love. I want to be a part of changing lives through people finding Jesus. I want to help create communities of faith where people find their purpose and live out their potential. And I want that so much more than all these momentary things. How about you? How about you? Would you rather have your momentary desire or what you desire most? I wonder how you could take a step in that direction today. Maybe you need to cancel that impulse purchase you made while you were scrolling online last night on your phone. And perhaps ask a friend to hold you accountable to no longer make impulse purchases? Or what if you decided, like today, like right now, that you're going to start saving money on a weekly basis? Whether it's $5 a week or $50 or $500, just now is the time to take a step towards what you desire most. Freedom, right? Or what would it look like for you to make generosity a habit? You could set up automatic giving today so that you're giving back to God consistently. Maybe you need to do that. So like if you went to verve.cc, you'll see one of the options is to give, and it's safe, it's easy, and you could actually set it up so that you give like on a consistent habit. You can choose how much you want to give, but to create that habit of generosity. I don't know what you need to do, but I think we all want to choose what we desire most over our momentary desires. Would you rather have your momentary desire or what you desire most? Let's pray. Let's pray for God's help with all this, okay? And then the band's going to lead us in a song, and we're just kind of going to go to God and open ourselves up and invite him in. And so let's pray and then we'll do that. God, it is, we live in a world that just points us at more and more stuff. And it's so easy to get caught up in more and more stuff. And we want this and we want it now. We want the newer car. We want the experience. We want to go out to that place to eat. I want this great coffee drink. I want to buy new clothes. God, it's never going to be enough and it's never going to satisfy our souls. So would you help us to choose not what we want now, not our momentary desire, but what we want most? God, would you help us to live that way? Because it's hard and we're going to need your help. We know that you love us and you want what's best for us. And you'll help us if we just make the decision to do that. And I pray you'd help us right now to make the decision to do that. And we pray all these things in the name of the one who came to set us free. In Jesus' name, amen.